I feel a hunger for Jesus this morning, growing within us. Jesus, more. More, Lord. More, Lord. No, don't transition. You guys can go. But I'm saying, do not transition your heart right now. We ask for more, Lord. Did you know that you're not called to transition your heart when worship ends? Lord, we want more. We want more of you. We want to follow you because every word you say is bread. Being around you is a fresh cup of water. It's a fresh cup of life. So we ask for more. Come on, guys, more. Stir it up in your heart right now. My message is not more important than his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence is so good. Your presence is so good. I was reading this week about the Azusa Street Revival in California. And it was a small group of like 15 to 20 people who just gathered in an upper room in a tiny little corner lot. And they gathered in an upper room and they didn't gather to join around a sermon. They didn't gather to join around a worship band. They gathered around Jesus. They gathered to hear the word of Jesus, to hear his word and feel his presence, to have a fresh encounter with him that they've never had before. How many of you want a fresh encounter with Jesus? How many of you guys want a fresh moment with the Lord that can get you to tomorrow and the next day and the next day? They gathered because they were dependent on the Lord. They gathered because they were dependent on another moment with the Holy Spirit. Because they knew what got me to yesterday is not going to sustain me to this moment. It's not going to sustain me till tomorrow. So I need him again. I need to be with him again. And in that little upper room, what we call the Pentecostal movement broke out in the United States and broke out all over the world just because a few gathered just to be with the Holy Spirit. Just because they looked back and they saw the early church and they were like, they experienced something that we're not experiencing right now. So if they experienced something so grand and so beautiful, why are we not experiencing it if he's living within us and he's here with us? Could it be that Holy Spirit's right there holding the gift out in front of you today saying, if you just open this gift up, then you'll receive what I've had waiting for you this whole time? Could it be that it's right there? He's right there with this next moment, with this next anointing, with this next gift of his presence that you need, that I need to get you to the next moment, to the next day. Because Jesus is waiting there tomorrow. What if in worship we weren't depending on the volume of the person next to us to feel passionate about Jesus? What if we didn't need the motivation of the person standing next to us to be passionate about Jesus? What if there was so much resolve within you to follow Jesus that you didn't need to check around to see if anybody else was following him? That you didn't need to do a glance over to be, am I the crazy person? What if you had so much resolve within you that to worship him is so part of you that you don't need to look around the room to see who else is engaging with him? Or that you don't need the band to get you there, to get to the height of the song, that you're already there in your heart and in your spirit. Jesus is looking for followers, for people who watch and gaze at his glory, that are encouraged by his oneness, by his glory, by his holiness. People who, I don't need to be encouraged by you to get to him. I've seen him, and so I've seen the whole thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm encouraged when I'm in a room full of believers who are just like going after the Lord. That gets me like, yes, this is awesome. But I don't need you to be there for me to be there, because I was already there this week when you weren't there, because Jesus was with me. And when Jesus is here, he's all I need. He's all I need to get excited because of what he's done in my life and where he's taken me and the distance that he's taken me in my life. It's enough, because I remember what Ethan was like before I met Jesus, before I surrendered it to him. So today I want to talk to you, I'm speaking to you a message called See, Believe, Follow. This week I was praying and the Lord revealed to me, he said, Ethan, the eyes are the hungriest organ in the body. So we're all fasting, right? We're doing the 40-day fast. And I started to realize fasting is about making your stomach hungry, right? To realize that your spirit is hungry, that you can surrender something to the Lord to make your spirit realize that you need him. Part of hunger is realizing the need for nutrients, realizing there's a need for something more. I love what Bill Johnson says. Bill Johnson says that in the natural, when you don't eat, you become hungry. But in the spirit, the more you eat, the hungrier you become. And so the more you go to Jesus and the more you eat of his word and take in the bread of life, the more you're like, I need more of that. I need more of that. It's addicting. That's why it breaks all addictions. It's the addiction that crushes every other addiction. Because when you drink from his well and you get a word from his mouth, it changes everything. And so he said, the eyes are the hungriest organ in the body. So I said, Jesus, what does that mean? And he said, your eyes are always searching for something to digest. Last week, Gabe did such a great job at explaining your eyes are connected to your heart. And this week, I'd like to kind of hit on the fact that your eyes are searching for something to follow. It's searching for something to fulfill an appetite in your heart. Because these feed this. What you gaze on is feeding this. That's why it's so important that you understand what's the appetite of these. What are these accustomed to? What are these craving? And that will reveal to you what's going on in here. Oh, Ethan, that was so fire. Matthew 6, 22 through 23 says this. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So if your eye is good, your heart will be good. All right? That's what I just said. If your eye is good, your heart will be good. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. They will know you are a Christian by the fruit that you carry. And so if you're carrying bad fruit, it's a revelation of something going on in the root that you might be watching or gazing or searching for something that the tree of life within you does not want, that you were not born for, that you had no purpose in. So the message is see, believe, follow. So this is what I'd like to bring to you today. What you see, you end up believing. What you end up believing in your heart, you will start turning towards. What you turn towards, you will follow. So what you see goes into your heart, creates belief. What creates belief starts to change your mind, turning you towards that thing that you're already watching. And then as you watch that thing, you will start to follow it, whether you like it or not. It's good, Ethan. See, believe, follow. So if you find yourself constantly following Jesus and doing this, and then you're over here and you're going, I'm going back to Jesus, now I'm going back this way, now I'm going back this way. It could be that you're changing what you're watching. That your eyes are getting caught on something it shouldn't be caught on. It's changing beliefs in you, and you want to go this way, but you're changing your own beliefs because you're believing something you shouldn't be believing to begin with. Because you've forgotten what he's done in the beginning. You forgot what he did to you when he set you free. When you said, Jesus, I give you all. When I give you all, I surrendered everything. And when I gave you everything, you made me new. But as soon as I forgot how new you made me and how blind I used to be, I start looking to other things to fulfill. But when I remember what you did in me, how blind I was, how I craved things that destroyed me, and how you freed me from that, the more I just want to follow you. Because your way is truth, your way is life, your way is narrow, and it is beautiful. You're a light to my path. You make all my paths straight when I'm with you. So I was reading in John chapter 9. Get your Bibles out. I was reading in John chapter 9. I'm going to read the entire chapter, so that's why you need your Bible out. And it's the story of Jesus walking with his disciples, and they come across a blind man. And this blind man is now what I believe probably one of the most amazing people in the Bible. I just feel like the Lord opened this whole scripture up to me this week. So John chapter 9, I'm just going to read through it. Stay with me, get your Bibles out, read the screen, whatever you need to do, just stay with me in this story. So afterward, as Jesus walked down the street, he noticed a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Teachers, whose sin caused this guy's blindness, his own or the sin of his parents?" Jesus answered, "Neither. It happened to him so that you could watch him experience God's miracle. While I am with you, it is daytime and we must do the work of God who sent me while the light shines. For there is coming a dark night when no one will be able to work. As long as I am with you, my life is the light that pierces the world's darkness." Then Jesus spat on the ground and made some clay with his saliva. Then he anointed the blind man's eyes with the clay. He said to the blind man, "Now go and wash the clay from your eyes in the ritual pool of Siloam." Siloam means scent. So he went and washed his face. As he came back, he could see for the first time in his life. This caused quite a stir among the people of the neighborhood, for they noticed the blind beggar was now seeing. They began to say to one another, "Isn't this the blind man who once sat and begged?" Some said, "No, it can't be him." Others said, "But it looks just like him. It has to be him." And while the man kept insisting, "I'm the man who was blind," finally they asked him, "What has happened to you?" He replied, "I met the man named Jesus. He rubbed clay on my eyes and said, 'Go to the pool named Siloam and wash.' So I went, and while I was washing the clay from my eyes, I began to see for the very first time. So the people of the neighborhood inquired, 'Where is this man?' 'I have no idea,' the man replied. So the people marched him over to the Pharisees to speak with them. They were concerned because the miracle Jesus performed by making clay with his saliva and anointing the man's eyes happened on the Sabbath day, a day that no one was allowed to work." Pause there. How many of us get so concerned by the way that Jesus does what he wants to do? Can you imagine just a man spitting into the ground, making mud out of his own spit, and then slapping that on somebody's face? Sometimes the Lord offends your heart to make something known that there's something living within you that shouldn't be there. Sometimes he pokes at a wound that has not healed, that needs to be healed. But you're ignoring it because you've held on to a lie. And so then you start putting Jesus in a box of what he's allowed to do and what he's not allowed to do. And we say, oh, well, it's not biblical. That's what the Pharisees were doing to Jesus. They said, what you're doing is not biblical. And he said, how can it not be biblical when my own father came down to the world and he said, I'm going to make man out of dirt? How can it not be biblical for me to make brand new eyes out of the very dirt I formed you? He is good. Then the Pharisees asked the man, we're on verse 15. The Pharisees asked the man, how did you have your sight restored? He replied, a man anointed my eyes with clay, then I washed, and now I have seen for the first time in my life. Then an argument broke out among the Pharisees over the healing of the blind man on the Sabbath. Some said, this man who performed this healing is clearly not from God. He doesn't even observe the Sabbath. Others said, if Jesus is just an ordinary sinner, how could he perform a miracle like that? This prompted them to turn on the man, heal the blindness, putting him on the spot in front of all of them, demanding an answer. They asked, who do you say he is? This man who opened your blind eyes, he's a prophet from God. The man replied, still refusing to believe that the man has been healed and was truly blind from birth, the Jewish leaders called the man's parents to be brought to them. So they asked his parents, is this your son? Yes, they answered. Was he really born blind? He said, yes. They said, yes, he was, they replied. So they pressed his parents to answer, then how is it that he's now seeing? We have no idea, they answered. We don't know what happened to him, to our son. They ask him, he's a mature adult. He can speak for himself. Now the parents were obviously intimidated by the Jewish leaders, for they had already announced to the people that if anyone publicly confessed Jesus as Messiah, they would be excommunicated. That's why they told them, ask him, he's a mature adult, he can speak for himself. So once again, they summoned the man who was healed of blindness and said to him, swear to God to tell us the truth. We know the man who healed you is a sinful man. Do you agree? The healed man replied, I have no idea what kind of man he is. All I know is that I was blind and now I can see for the first time in my life. How do you preach the gospel? That. If you're like, I don't know how to evangelize, that's how you evangelize. Who's Jesus? I don't know, but I was blind and now I can see. That's so simple. Come meet the man that made me see for the first time in my life. But what did he do to you? They asked. We're on verse 26 now. How did he heal you? The man responded, I told you once and you didn't listen to me. Why do you make me repeat it? Are you wanting to be his followers too? Oh, I love that line. Why are you making me repeat it? Do you want to be his follower too? Watch this. This angered the Jewish leaders. They heaped insults on him. We can tell you are one of his followers. Now we know it. We are true followers of Moses. What did they say to him? They said, we can tell that you are a follower of Jesus because of the way you look at him, the way you see life now. The veil has been taken off, so you see things with a different perspective, not through the lenses of Moses, but through the lenses of a living, breathing God who came to be an incarnate man among us, God among us, Emmanuel, being with us, making us go from blind men to men and women who can actually see. That's how they knew that he was a follower. They said, we are true followers of Moses. But as for this one, we don't know where he's coming. And then this is what the man says. Verse 3 says, well, what a surprise this is. The man said, you don't even know where he comes from, but he healed my eyes and now I can see. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but only to godly people who do his will. Yet who has ever heard of a man born blind that was healed and given back his eyesight. I tell you, if this man isn't from God, he wouldn't be able to heal me like he has. Some of the Jewish leaders were enraged and said, just who do you think you are to lecture us? You were born a blind, filthy sinner. So they threw the man out in the street. When Jesus learned they had thrown him out, he went to find him and said, do you believe in the Son of God? Just remember, he said, I'm looking for this man, Jesus. Because Jesus sent him off blind. He washed. He could see. And then the first thing he did when he could see is, where's Jesus? I must see this man who healed my life, healed my eyes, healed my heart. And Jesus walks up to him and says, do you believe in the Son of God? The man whose blind eyes were healed answered, who is he, Master? Tell me so that I can place all my faith in him. In the ESV, it says, tell me so I can believe. I can see. I want to believe so that I can follow. The Pharisee said, you're a follower. And he didn't deny it because belief was planted in his heart and it was springing up an oak of righteousness within him so that he could follow the one who made him see. Jesus replied, you're looking right at him. He's speaking with you. It's me, the one in front of you now. Then the man threw himself at his feet and worshiped Jesus and said, Lord, I believe in you. I love that so much right there. Then the man threw himself at the feet and worshiped Jesus and said, Lord, I believe in you. If you don't know what to worship, throw yourself at Jesus' feet and just say, I believe in you. We overcomplicate it so much in life. We turn it into, I have to sing a certain song. I got to pray a certain thing. And you don't. You just need to come to Jesus with your nothingness. Come to Jesus blind. Do you know what he was doing? He said, I was blind and now I see. But guess what? I will stay blind if I don't stay with you. I will continue to be blind if I don't stay at your feet. So if you don't know how to worship Jesus, if you don't know how to talk to Jesus, start there. I'm blind. You are all. Let me be at your feet and worship you and just say, I believe in you, Jesus. And this is what Jesus replies. He says, I have come to judge those who think they see and make them blind. And for those who are blind, I have come to make them see. Some of the Pharisees were standing nearby and overheard these words. They interrupted Jesus and said, you mean to tell us that we are blind? Jesus told them, if you would acknowledge your blindness, then your sin would be removed. But now that you claim to see, your sins remain with you. A key indication of conviction from the Holy Spirit is when he reveals to you that you're thinking that you're above, when he says, you need to be at the end of the table. He says, I resist the proud, but I honor the humble. Sometimes I think it's easy in America to come to the Lord and to be freed and washed clean and be like, oh yes, I'm forgiven. And then to continue on in your life doing about your own works, building your own righteousness, and making yourself a proud Christian who does not depend on the Lord. That's why he said, I came to make those who think they can see blind. Guys, this is crazy. This is my life. I've had the Lord come to me so many times where I'm like, I can see crystal clear. I got Holy Spirit contacts in Jesus. I see great. And he's like, you're blind. And you're only blind because you forgot to remember the man who made you see. The Christian walk is not just, I was blind and now I see and now I'm done. It's a continual process of, I see the Lord, I believe in him, it's in my heart, it's part of me now, and now I must follow. And on a hard day when I don't know what to do with life because COVID and all this crazy stuff, I remember, I need to see Jesus. I need to see him. If I see him, I'll believe. And when I believe, I will begin to follow again. And so often we forget this because we think that like we need to do something, like we need to just like, oh, if I just work it up, whatever, just muster it up. Oh, I'm doing great, guys. It's good. I've been whatever. You know what I'm talking about, where you'd like go, you know, you forget to just go to the Lord because you're not dependent on him. And so you come to church and you realize you haven't even talked to the man that you're worshiping in like 2 weeks. I've been there. We forget to come to him with our emptiness. We think we need to come to him with this alabaster jar. We think we need to come to him with an alabaster jar every time. Guess what? The moment you came to him the first time to surrender your life, that's your alabaster jar. From there on, you might have nothing to give him, but showing up is everything. Showing up to Jesus' feet saying, I believe in you. You're just saying, I want to follow you. What were Jesus' disciples? They were followers of Jesus. What does that mean? That means they were apprentices. They were, I want to yield my life to be an apprentice to the master, to the teacher, to the person who knows how to do this thing. What they were doing is they were molding their lives to follow this man so that they could say, this is how he's doing it. Now I will do the same thing. But the moment that you stop being the apprentice to the master, you're not following Jesus. Dude, oh, it's true. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean, guys. I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm not trying to drop a bomb. I'm not. This is what the Lord's doing in us. He's doing this at the river. He's doing this in you. He's cutting away the dead, the dying, and the decaying. If it's not bringing life, it needs to go. I feel Jesus so much right now. If it's not bringing life, it needs to go. And part of being pruned by the Lord, being discipled by the Lord, is watching who he is, letting that settle in your heart, and letting that take over your footsteps. If you want to get free from lust, pornography, addictions like that, it starts with seeing. Because where the enemy's trying to attack you with what you're seeing, it's because he's trying to get in the way of Jesus. And somewhere along the way, I struggle with this stuff. Somewhere along the way, I lost my dependency for Jesus, my need for Jesus. When you lose that need, you lose the appetite to wake up and say, oh man, if I don't see Jesus today, I'm going to lose belief. And when I lose belief, I will stop following him. Yes. Or I'll turn and I'll start following something else just to end up turning around again. I know this makes sense. Yeah. I just know it does because I've lived this. This is my life. If we could take the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and we could know them as well as we know the Second Amendment or the First Amendment, if we could take the constitution of our faith, which is the Beatitudes, and you took that and you planted that in your heart and you gazed upon that word from the Lord and you said, Lord, this is the law of the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. But Ethan, I don't feel God. I don't encounter him. I don't feel him the way you do. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. What does poor in spirit mean? You might not feel God the same way I do. You might not see God the same way I do. But if you come to the Lord like I do, saying, Jesus, I am nothing without you. I need you just as much today as I needed you yesterday, as I needed you the day before that, the week before that, the year before that, at the beginning of all this COVID stuff. I need you just as much today. You will encounter the Lord. But sometimes you need to lay your pride down on the altar and let Jesus just slay that thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is the law of the kingdom. I'm just going to go down this bunny trail. This is the law of the kingdom. The law of the kingdom is if you want the kingdom of God, you become poor in spirit. If you want to see God, you become pure in heart. If you want the earth, you become meek. If you want to be a child of God, you become a peacemaker. It's the law. It's if you read the Beatitudes backwards, you know what to do. If you want to see God, you become pure in heart. And when you need to become pure in heart, you focus on what you're seeing and what you're watching. You pay attention to what your eyes have an appetite for. Do you have an appetite for division? Do you have an appetite for politics? Do you have an appetite for lust, for greed? Think about your phones. Think about life. Everything is trying to draw these. Advertisements are trying to draw these. Social media is trying to get these focused. When you go into a mall, everything is trying to get these. If it's the same in the natural, it's even more true in the spiritual. Everything around you is trying to get your attention on these. And if he can get your attention on these, you will create different beliefs, and it will cause you to start following things you were never created to follow. How do you stay true? How do you stay on the narrow path? You go back to your dependency. You go back to the, I need Jesus. If I don't have Jesus, I will fall apart. We need in America so badly to stop relying on our own righteousness, to stop relying on our own consistency. Jesus is consistent. He is faithful. He is sufficient. He is always there. He is always true. And if you know yourself like I know myself, you're not always true and you're not always consistent and you're not always faithful, but he is always faithful. And so every single morning, if you want consistency in your walk with God, like people will come to me or Lydia and they'll be like, I don't understand, like, how do you do it? How do you just stay burning? How do you, it's been, you know, I don't know, 10 years more, no, it's been like 12 years now that I've just been burning for the Lord. And it's just been pruning off all the dead, decaying and diseased things in my life. Consistency comes from dependency. The moment Adam and Eve took from the tree, what they were taking was independence. And that's hard for an American here because we're like, yeah, Independence Day. What they were taking from that tree was independence because it was something apart from God that they were needing, craving. They were craving something apart from him, something that would fulfill other than God. And so the blind man teaches us two different things in this verse. He teaches us that it's not just enough to be healed of your blindness and then celebrate and walk away. He teaches us that we need to find Jesus' feet every morning and just fall at his feet and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I don't know what I believe about all the theology of stuff. And when people ask me questions of, well, when's Jesus coming back and all that? Like, I don't have all those answers. But my number one answer is I believe in you. And if I follow you, then I will see you. Then everything else will come into place. All the knowledge you need that the Lord needs you to have, you will get if you're following him. See, we go on social media and stuff and we're looking for more followers, people to follow us. We become viewers on YouTube. What would happen if you started binge watching Jesus? What would happen if you were an avid viewer, somebody who was subscribed to Jesus? Like every day you were like, I don't need YouTube. I need to go follow Jesus. I just need to watch him. That's what the disciples were doing. That's when Jesus said, follow me, all he was saying is just watch what I do, because I'm just doing what I see my Father doing. Come on, dude. That's all this whole thing is it's just, I'm just watching what the Father's doing, so now do what I'm doing. Yes. So if you're like, I don't know how to disciple, I don't know how to evangelize, just do what he's doing. If you're like, I don't know how to tell what he's doing, read this. And then you will. The blind man also teaches us that those that lose their sight of their need for Jesus will be blind. And I'm telling you, you can pray the prayer and give your life over to the Lord, but the moment that you say with your life that you don't need him, you're blind. Then you've traded your eyes to see for eyes that do not see. It's like the church of Laodicea. It says, you think that you're wealthy. You think that you're healed. You think that you are rich. But I say that you are poor, you are wicked, you are naked, and you are blind. This year is like a wake-up year. The Lord, I believe, has initiated things to just happen this year to wake us up. Because if you think that you can just do this whole Christian life without the dependency and the need to just fall at Jesus' feet and be like, I need you more than I've ever needed you. If you think you can do this without this, then you're not a Christian. I'm so, like I said, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to stir up hunger. That's why, like, it's not hard for me to worship and stir up hunger, because I was already hungry before I got here. Can I just tell you a quick story? I'm going to land the plane here. Hunger creates things in you that the Lord, it creates an environment in your heart for the Lord to plant new things. And so the more you see him, the more you take these and you say, Lord, I just want to see you, follow you. It does things in your life where you start to see life differently. So a couple weeks ago, I'm going to go get the trash cans at the end of my driveway. You know, I took the trash out. Got to go get them once they're taken. It's a pretty crazy concept, right? I don't know why I'm explaining this. Do you guys know how to take out your trash? If you don't, I know a guy. Okay, so. Anyway, so I'm going to go get the trash cans. This is how in life Jesus is. This is how, like, he's here every day of the week, all the time. This is how intimate he is in our lives. I'm walking to the end of my driveway, and my spirit wakes up within me. If you don't know what that means, it's just like a knowing. Like, whoa, something's happening. Look around, what's happening, you know? Do you know what I mean? My spirit just was like, huh, what's happening? And we live on a corner lot, and so on the corner, I can just feel Jesus walking towards me. I get, like, I can't tell you, I didn't see him. I just knew, like, the man Jesus is walking up to me right now on my road and walking through leaves, and he's about to meet me at the end of my driveway. And he can't, like, I'm standing at the end of my driveway, probably looking crazy because I'm just standing there, and I'm, like, shaking because I'm like, Jesus is here right now. Like, he's here. The most important person in the whole universe is walking up to me right now. And when you feel those things, you stop. Just stop everything. Just let it happen, whatever it is. And he comes walking up to me, and I'm shaking at the end of my driveway. I'm sure neighbors could have seen me, like, I'm not like, oh, like, I'm just like this. And I'm shaking. And he walks up to me, and I can just like if Lydia walked up to me, and you know your bubble, your personal space, you know, that feeling where you know somebody's near you, and you're like, this is uncomfortable, right? Jesus walks up like this close to me, and I go, Jesus, what are you doing? He goes, I just wanted to let you know I was stopping by to be with you today. That will do more to you. That will do more to you. Than watching something on YouTube, than getting somebody to praise you, give you encouragement, to prophesy over you. Like, oh, I never get a prophetic word. That will do more to you. Jesus being personally with you at the end of your driveway. And just being, but people will miss it because their eyes are moving. And Jesus is walking up to every single one of you every single day. And you will miss it because your eyes are moving. But I tell you, when you live this lifestyle of attention to the Lord, the attention to the one who deserves attention, do you know he deserves attention? He deserves, like, single eyes. That's what that verse at the beginning, it says, if your eye is healthy, in the New King James, it says, if your eye is single, not distracted, if you're single to him, then you'll have those moments that get you through to the next day. We need hunger, guys. We need hunger for more of the Lord. Like it, Bill has, I stand by Bill almost every Sunday worshiping, and Bill could tell you most Sundays, I'm just saying, more, God, more, more. I want to see the glory of the Lord dwell here. Dwell. Like where people are driving by North River Road, and they get healed in their car, and they don't know what happened. Because guess what? I don't need to be the one to say, oh, I laid hands on them and they got healed. It's not for me, it's for them. It's the Holy Spirit moving and dwelling and having his being in a place. And I tell you, if we all get single-sighted on the Lord, things like that happen. Where blind people could walk by, like this place, the temple of the Lord, like he can dwell in such a profound place in you and in a building that people could walk by and get healed. You say, that's not biblical. Peter walked down hallways and down streets, and his shadow would, they would lay people out on the street, and his shadow would fall on them, and they'd get healed. He didn't stop to pray. He didn't stop to lay hands. He didn't stop to say, I got anointing oil. He walked, and people were healed because he was carrying so much of the anointing of the Lord that people were delivered just like that. Do you want to? I want to live like that. I want to be so consumed and possessed by the Lord that people are delivered like that. I want that. When we talk about being baptized in the Spirit, do you know that that means to be dipped in God? That's what it is. If there was a tank, the Holy Spirit would be everything in there. And then you got dipped in God. That's how much of God you're carrying. That's how much he trusts you. That he's literally taking you, a person who has failed so many times. And he's saying, I trust you enough to carry my Spirit. Boom! Dipped in God. Guys, it's time we become hungry and protective of the presence of God in our lives. Protected, where it's like when things try to get in the way and things like lust and greed and dividing and gossip and things like that, things that try to work its way in and take residence in your heart that are not allowed, it's time we get protective, like we're protective about our Second Amendment. Dude, I'm just saying, when the Second Amendment stuff or free speech, that stuff comes up, we all get, back up, back up, back up. You know what I mean? That's how we are. That's how America is. What would it look like if you were that protective of the Lord residing in your heart, that nothing else was allowed? What would it look like if every day you woke up and said, I am dependent on seeing God so that I can believe in my heart and I can follow him? Everything in this world is fighting for your belief. Because the belief causes the turning. The Bible says that he's called us. He
called his disciples to walk in signs and wonders. What are signs and wonders for? If I held up a sign, what's the goal? That you would see it, right? What's a wonder for? A firework is like a wonder. So you can go, whoa. Whoa, that's cool. That's what signs and wonders are for. You were called to carry signs and wonders so that the world around you can say, whoa. That's good. Stand up. I want to pray for two different sets of people. If you feel like you've been saved, but you've allowed your vision to be caught by other things, and you feel blind now, and you want to see again, raise your hand. Come on. Thank you for that. You're like, I want to see again. I've let other things take up residency in me, and I want to see again. Okay, we're going to pray for you. Put your hand on your heart, that group of people. Jesus, I thank you for deliverance, God. I thank you for deliverance, Lord, for setting us free from chains and bondage right now. Lord, I thank you for resensitizing our hearts, for breaking brittle and hard hearts and making them soft again in Jesus' name. For making us whole again in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that the scales would fall off of eyes and hearts today in Jesus' name, right now. Right now, Lord, I command that scales and hardness of heart would come off of our hearts in Jesus' name. That demons that we have welcomed into our houses would go in Jesus' name. That demons that we have called friends in our hearts would go in Jesus' name. Yeah, right now, if that's you, you know it's you. If that's you, you've welcomed demons into your heart. Things to take up residence, I want you to say right now, get out. Say it with your word, get out. You're not welcome here. And now say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Take up residence. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now if you're like, I want to be hungry for the Lord and to be a dwelling place for Jesus, raise your hand. Come on. Two hands. Yeah, even if I just prayed for you, this is you too. If you're like, I want this, I want it. Like I said, more. Okay. Yes, Holy Spirit. I just feel like he's going to just run over us. Such a beautiful way. Come on, just welcome him in your heart. Lord, we thank you. God, I ask you to stir up hunger in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would teach us to position ourselves on the train tracks of your glory and your love, and you would just run us over. That you would hit us so hard that we would become awake and aware to the things that you are doing. Lord, I ask that you would create hunger in our eyes and in our hearts to see you, to believe you, and then to follow you every day. To see you, to believe you, and to follow you. You're the only thing worth following, God. So I ask that you would do it right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, rush through this place. Rush through this place. Let the river become a dwelling place in the Blue Water community, that we would be known with people that are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and that our buildings would be full of his Spirit, that the sick, the blind, the diseased, the tormented, the dead would come up, that would be healed and whole again in Jesus' name. That boldness would rise up, just like the blind man, that boldness would rise up with people who are being bringing accusation and division, that we would be bold for the Holy Spirit, for the Lord, that we would fight for the place in our hearts, God. that you would be the owner of our hearts. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. Do it. Amen.